like to bring the March 15th, 2023 Siskiyou County Planning Commission meeting to order, please. Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Commissioner Hart.
Here.
Commissioner Mello.
Here.
Commissioner Fowle.
Present.
Commissioner Veal.
Here.
Chair Lindler.
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, so approval of the minutes.
It's cold. It was 17 degrees when I left home.
You're loud, Missy. Now we have approval of the February 15th, 2023 minutes.
Also move.
And we have, so we have a motion and a second. Any comments? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, motion carries. Unscheduled appearances. Any person may address the commission on any subject matter within the jurisdiction or responsibility of the commission at the beginning of the meeting, or may elect to address the commission on any agenda item at the time the item is called by the chair, but before the matter is acted upon by the commission. Unscheduled comments will be limited to 5 minutes. Are there any unscheduled comments?
Seeing none online.
Thank you. Are there any conflicts of interest declarations? Okay. Seeing none, I'm gonna move on. So presentation of documents. All items presented to the Planning Commission during a public hearing become a permanent part of the record. 12 copies of any information presented to the commission should be given to the clerk of the commission for distribution to the commissioners. In order to obtain an accurate record of the testimony, please address the commission at the speaking table and clearly introduce yourself with your full name and address. Your address will not be included in the minutes of the meeting. A maximum of 5 minutes per speaker will be given so that all interested parties will have the opportunity to address the commission. Availability of public records. All public records related to an open session item on this agenda, which are not exempt from disclosure pursuant to the California Public Records Act, that are distributed to the majority of the legislative body, will be made available for public inspection at 806 South Main Street, Wairika, at the same time and place, or at the same time that the public records are distributed or made available to the members of the legislative body. All project documents are on file at the Planning Division of the Siskiyou County Community Development Department at 806 South Main Street, California, and available for public review. Item 8 on the agenda is the public hearing protocol that we will follow. However, I'm not going to read that process. It's in the agenda for your review. Item 9, the right of the appeal statement. Projects heard at this Planning Commission meeting may be subject to appeal within 10 calendar days of today's meeting. If the 10th day falls on a weekend, the appeal must be received the following business day. Please contact the county clerk for information. Appeals must be submitted to the county clerk's office together with an appeal fee of $1,250. If you challenge the environmental review or the project proposal in court, you may be limited to raising only those issues raised at the public hearing or in written correspondence delivered to the Siskiyou County Planning at or prior to the public hearing. Are there any changes to the agenda items or consideration of items to be continued from staff?
No.
Nope. Okay, thank you. So, moving on, old business, agenda item 1, the U Street use permit, UP-22-10, as categorically exempt. Staff report, please.
Thank you. Rachel Jarab, Senior Planner. This project was previously heard during the February 15th Planning Commission meeting, and during that meeting, concerns were raised by an adjacent property owner regarding road access, parking, and trash receptacles. The project was ultimately continued to today's meeting in order to allow commissioners the opportunity to independently visit the project site. On February 16th, staff was able to visit the project site, and I measured Laura Marie Lane at three different points, the beginning, the end, and what appeared to me to be the narrowest point in the road. And those measurements, along with those photographs of the measurement points, are detailed in the staff report. The applicant site map, which was noted, which noted available parking spaces, was modified to remove the Laura Marie Lane cul-de-sac area as a designated parking space. And during the site visit, I noticed that the trash receptacle at the project site was designed to be bear resistant. While I was there, I was also able to take a video of the road. I realized that since I visited that site, it probably has snowed quite a bit, so I'm not sure that anybody was actually able to visit it, so I'm going to go ahead and share that video with you guys. So hold on just a second while I screen share. So I'm going to pause at certain points so that way you guys know what we're looking at. This is actually Rainbow Drive. It's the road that you have to turn onto, from onto Laura Marie Lane. And this is Laura Marie Lane right here, the turnoff.
And that's heading east from Old Stage Road.
Correct. And now we're heading north on Laura Marie Lane. As you can see, this area right here, it appears that this is the property owner who paved this section. It appears that the entire section that is next to their house is paved. And that was the area, I believe I measured it at 18 feet wide. And coming up, you'll see this is the transition point between the pavement and the dirt area. This road right here, this is what I felt was the narrowest point in the road. As you can see, there are shoulders on the right-hand side. The tree, I believe, is what made it the narrowest point. But let me know if you want me to pause and reverse or anything. So I measured it at the, hold on just a second, I have people that just entered the waiting room that I need to admit. All right, sorry, multitasking here. All right.
Rachel, what's the width of the road right there?
I'm sorry, say it again.
The width of the road right there?
So the point that I measured was where this tree is that has the sign. And this visually, to me, seemed like the narrowest point. I did not measure past that point. There were shoulders the majority of this road. And if you notice on one of the pictures that was in the staff report, hold on, I have more people entering the room.
It says 14 feet, I think.
Yeah, it was 14 feet at that road, or at that tree. And 14 feet at this location right here, but I did not measure past it.
What's the driveway access?
This
like
is
going up the hill and then
right. This has, the is right. Not actually a driveway access. What it is a public utilities easement. And if you look on if you look on the exhibit map, which is the parcel map that created it, you can see they have that easement listed on parcel one. So that point is about 35 feet from the edge of the pavement to the start of that easement per this recorded map. And that's that driveway access that's actually the easement for their underground utilities right there.
So just assuming whenever that road gets plowed, that probably...
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
I assume when the road gets plowed, a lot of snow gets shoved in that hole.
I would have to defer to people who have been on that road during snowy weather, so I don't know. I could make that assumption as well, though.
Well, I'm just not a farmer, and that's what I do.
Yeah. There were a couple points where there was remnants of piles on the side of the road. I think that one is to, behind this tree to the left, that we might be able to see it a little bit better.
What was the concern that caused us to go visit that? Could you repeat what we talked about last meeting? That Tony and I were going to go look, and what was the concern?
They were concerned about the road not being wide enough to accommodate the people going to that project site.
As well as the adjacent landowner who had called and commented had concern about the use of the cul-de-sac at the end of the road as a parking lot. Because especially during times of snow removal, people were using his property as the parking area and not, or the cul-de-sac, which, you know, was an impediment to potential emergency vehicles. And then when we get to it, I'll speak. I actually went and looked at the road too and met with CAL FIRE.
Okay.
So I'll talk about that.
So let me know if you guys want me to stop again. Otherwise, I'm going to continue.
Go ahead, please.
So you can see here on the left, there is some remnants of some old snow. This is the driveway entrance to the other vacation rental that's on the project site right here.
That's the one we discussed that had the fire.
And here's some more snow on the right. So I want to point out, I'm gonna back up a little bit. When I was, I actually went to the project site twice in one day. On the way down to Reading for an appointment, I stopped. And then on the way back, I took this video after thinking about it while driving.
Yeah.
But when I was there taking the photographs, there was actually and you could see it in the photos that that are in the staff report, there was actually a truck for some utility company parked right here. And this road was not obstructed at all. So I just wanted to make sure that you guys were aware that it's definitely wide enough when there is no snow piled up on the side of the road for vehicles to drive past each other. More snow on the left. This is the adjacent property owner's property here to the left that commented during the previous meeting. And the third point that I measured was actually at the entrance to the property, and this point right here at what appeared to be the start of the cul-de-sac was 21 feet wide. There's the cul-de-sac, and then this is the start of their driveway off of the cul-de-sac. This driveway, particularly this area, seemed a little narrow to me, so I don't know if CAL FIRE during your site visit made any comments on that. No?
Okay.
But you can see, hold on, this is the bear resistant trash can that's that was for the property. So this area right here, this is the mapped 30 by 30 parking area on the property. I wasn't looking at the site map when I originally went in the morning or in the earlier visit, and there was actually a utility vehicle that was servicing the house in some regard up here. And I was thinking that was the parking area because it's much flatter, but the map shows this area, which is a little bit steeper, as the parking area. This is the entrance to the house on the right where this deck is. flat area that I mentioned in the back door. That's pretty much the end of the video. Did anybody want me to go back to anything?
No, did you guys?
Nope.
Okay, we're fine.
So to continue my staff presentation, I did not receive any additional public comments regarding this project, and staff recommends adopting the categorical exemption and approving the use permit for this project. There is a suggested motion in the packet.
Okay, thank you. Before we go to the public speaking, I just wanted to state that I did meet CAL FIRE on site because we had discussion about 4290 and 4291 enforcement. And I met two CAL FIRE representatives that deal with enforcement, specifically on small landowners. And they stated that because the road is not on, the majority of the road is not on the landowner's property, that they do not have jurisdiction under this use permit to make the adjacent landowners do any improvements to the road. Second of all, I did question in one photo, there's like one point where it looks like some of the trees are too close for 4291, which is the fire safe around the house. And his comment was that because the county has not adopted 4291 regs as their own, they do their best with enforcement, but they have to be careful because majority of the homes don't meet 4291 and they can't have selective enforcement, was essentially paraphrasing what he was saying. So with that, you know, the county would need to adopt, if we wanted to fully enforce fire safe clearances, the Board of Supervisors would need to adopt, or the county adopt, 4290 and 4291 as their own county regs. And then there would be more enforcement with fire safe clearance. But I went and looked at the property. Ms. Sandra Haugen was there. She's the property manager for the vacation rental. And just answered questions of mine. And there is adequate turnout space in the cul-de-sac. At the time, there was snow and it was all plowed, allowing for adequate space. I mean, we had four vehicles and they're parked in there, and there was still adequate space. I didn't tour around the property because there was renters in it and we didn't want to disturb them, but I did try to go up the driveway a little bit and get a look. But all in all, subsequent to that, I did get correspondence from Mr. Hawkins, concerned that there was some people, again, parked in his road area, and I forwarded his complaints to Ms. Haugen to remedy. So I just wanted to let everybody know that Ms. Haugen has offered to try to help alleviate some of Mr. Hawkins' concern, because apparently, for those that may not have been here, this place was operated illegally as a vacation rental for like the last 10 years. And there are numerous complaints in the past on that house. And so that's why we just took the extra effort to try to alleviate some of those concerns.
To clarify through the chair, the property owners right now who are applying for this use permit are not the ones who were operating it illegally in the past that we have had complaints from.
That is a good clarification. Yeah, that was under a prior landowner, not the current landowner that's applied for the permit.
Did the four vehicles you have here, were you parked in the cul-de-sac or on the site?
We were in the cul-de-sac, which is, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr., but that cul-de-sac is on the vacation rental property. So
but there's no
correct.
Parking in
which
the cul-de-sac.
No
cul-de-sac. As part of this permit.
Yes.
So looking at that being on a hillside slope, in the wintertime, is going to be a challenge at best.
Oh, with adequate parking?
With adequate parking.
Yeah, they're going to have to work on the snow plow issue,
snow
you
plow,
know, to get adequate parking.
Flatten it out so that you can get in there and turn around and not
you know, it wouldn't be adequate for me. That's just my own personal.
As Kirk said once, with 2.5 acres, what did we care about parking? I mean.
What's that?
I remember Kirk saying one time, with 2.5 acres, what are we, why are we concerned about parking? I mean, right, let them figure it out.
Yep, let them figure it out, is right.
Yep.
Yep.
Commissioner Mello?
I cannot read a state because I was not at the last meeting. Is that correct? I can't comment on this.
Well,
Through the chair, real quick, I did provide him with a full transcript of that portion of the hearing. So
yes.
He did able to read it, just for your information.
Yes, if you review the record, you can comment.
Okay, all I'm going to say about this snow, my street is a wide street, and right now we have trouble passing 2 cars, but thanks to the rain, we may be able to do it easier. So, snow removal, excuse me, when it snows, do you run out of place to put it?
Mm-hmm.
Period. And that doesn't matter whether it's a vacation rental, a home, a city, street, county. So, that's not an issue with me. You do as best you can with the snow.
Yep. Okay, so with that, are there any other comments before I open up the public hearing? Okay, so I will open up the public hearing. I have, first we'll start off with project proponents, and I do have one, Stephanie Usry. Hi.
Hello.
Go ahead and state your name and address for the record, please.
Sure. Hi, everyone. My name is Stephanie Usry. My address is 1707 Laurel Marie Lane. Okay. Let me go?
Yes, go
Sorry,
ahead.
Sorry, I want to abide by the formalities.
Yeah,
So thank you all so much for the consideration and the time that you've taken with the visits and everything. I really appreciate the thoroughness that you've all taken and the seriousness with which you take making sure that we have everything in order. So as you know, myself and my partner, Ryan, we purchased the home last May and moved in July after the other owner vacated. And actually, we're fortunate enough to meet Bob, our neighbor, the first day that we moved in, and heard some of his concerns and have done everything that we can to be both good homeowners and good neighbors. This is my first time owning a home in a rural place, so learning things like how I have to put salt in the water softener, it's all been a journey, and just learning how to make sure that we're abiding by all the rules and the policies. Sandra, our property manager, has been an incredible guide and partner in that. And we're doing our best to continue to learn to make sure that the property is meeting all the requirements. I heard you talk about trees. That's actually something my partner is working with a tree person in Shasta to make sure that we're just being smart about how we manage the property as well. So we're doing everything we can to work with both our neighbors to abide by the policies and rules that this committee is part of enforcing. And we'll continue to do our best to abide by anything that you tell us that we need to do. We want to be good neighbors, good citizens of the county, and do our best to also welcome guests to this amazing place that we feel so fortunate to be able to have property in. So we're excited to be here. I'm up here as both of us are up here as much as we can with work and travel that requires, and we'll be here as much as we can, and in the meantime, feel really fortunate to be able to have the financial support of being able to rent it when we're not able to be here. So thank you all for your thoughts and time. If there's any questions, I'm happy to answer them. And again, happy to do anything that's required to make you all feel comfortable with us following rules and regulations.
Did you have any problem getting fire insurance when you purchased the house?
None at all. Thank you. Got it, thank you.
A lot of people down here have lost their fire.
Yeah. Okay. Any other project proponents in the audience or online?
I do have one person with their hand raised online, but I'm not sure if they're a proponent or opponent to this project.
Okay. Why don't we go ahead and see?
So the person whose phone number ends in 1810, please go ahead and unmute.
Okay.
Hold just a second. We can't hear you.
Battery 100%.
Okay, can you go ahead and try?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead and state your name and address for the record,
Good
please.
Good morning. My name is Karen Rogers. I live on Maple Drive for about 38 years.
Ma'am, are you, excuse me, are you calling to speak regarding the US reuse permit? Because that's the project that we're on right now. It's on Laura Marie Lane.
No, I'm calling to speak on 1900 Maple Drive.
Okay, that project has not come forward in this process yet. We will be hearing that project after this one.
Very good. Is there a Zoom link or just a phone call?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Is there a computer Zoom link or it's only by phone call that we can be on?
The meeting can be accessed via Zoom using the meeting ID that's on the agenda.
All right, there was no Zoom link provided.
We don't have the link, but the meeting ID is on the first page of the agenda.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Oh, is it there?
No, I'll explain it.
Okay. So any other project opponents or proponents who would like to speak?
I'm not seeing any online at this time.
Okay. So with that, I will close the public hearing close the public portion and bring it back to the commissioners.
A question for council. With what Commissioner Lindler shared in her discussion with CAL FIRE, quote unquote, if the county would adopt 4290-4291 regs, quote, we would enforce.
Yeah, and that was a paraphrase.
Okay, so quote unquote paraphrasing.
Yep.
If we have a state agency making a statement that they are trying to think how to, is it true that the state is unable to enforce a regulation if a county does not adopt said regulation?
Well,
because if so, then the county can just tell the state water board to go take a flying leak because we have not adopted the emergency drought regs.
I don't really get quite the full context of that. I mean, there's certainly parts in 4291 that are simply the law in the first place. For instance, the 100-foot clearance is simply the state law. It doesn't need to be, I don't think it could be adopted.
Counties can be more restrictive, not less.
Right.
Therefore, why in the hell isn't CAL FIRE enforcing the reg?
Yes.
That's a political mystery that
politics have nothing to do with it. Either it's a law or it's not a law.
Yeah.
It's legal or it's not legal. If it's a regulation, enforce it firm, fair, consistent. Because if CAL FIRE is saying they won't enforce as a state agency because the county hasn't adopted it,
mm-hmm.
they've gotten that message from somewhere up above. And if they're getting it from the AG, the AG is giving state water board, hey, enforce the regs.
Yep.
So
no,
be firm,
you.
Fair, consistent, enforce 4290-4291, period.
Yep.
Right, and I would certainly invite Mr. Dean or Ms. Lang to comment further. I think there also is kind of an issue getting a little bit off subject as to the enforcing agency itself within the county, not so much enforcing the regs, but something, if I understand correctly, the county hasn't adopted. In fact, if the county adopted the regulations, if I understand correctly, it would be the county's responsibility to enforce them, but we haven't, and therefore I believe it's CAL FIRE's responsibility to enforce them.
That was my understanding.
I invite the staff to correct me. Okay, that's my understanding as well.
But that's why when this was mentioned, I needed some clarification there. The county hasn't adopted because otherwise county is responsible.
That's my understanding also.
Okay. Yep.
Rick Keene, Community Development Director, concurred with Council, the state regulation, and I'm going to be enforced by CAL FIRE at this time. Siskiyou County is one of six counties that chose not to adopt this fire regulation, primarily because it's an unfunded mandate that we have to deal with, and we have, frankly, a more difficult time enforcing than CAL FIRE.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Great. And then one other thing that was brought up as a suggestion, and this was in relation to the fire that was started on the adjacent landowner's property, was that on vacation rentals that have wood stoves, that there's a fireproof ash receptacle, because apparently in talking to CAL FIRE, that adjacent neighbor's fire was started by the vacation renters emptying their ash out of the wood stove and just putting it outside. And then that caused the fire and burned down their fence and etc. So it was recommended that they have a receptacle on homes that have wood burning stoves. That's a fireproof.
Outside receptacle to put the ashes in.
Mm-hmm. It's called metal trash can.
Metal trash can would be great. But, you know, if it was not
are
a
people
trash
really
can.
That stupid nowadays?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it started a fire, so.
You, yeah, that answers the question.
This happened.
My gosh.
Through the chair.
Yes.
Commissioner Fowle, yesterday they are. We had a fire when I was in the fire department many years ago. They took the ashes out of the stove and put it in a cardboard box and put it on their deck.
Yep.
And consequently, because it caught fire in the wee hours, the house burned to the ground.
Yeah. So that was another recommendation that we may want to consider for homes with wood-burning stoves. So I don't know if this home has a wood-burning stove, but to me it seems like an easy mitigation to try to alleviate further issues with that, because as we stated last time, thankfully Mr. Hawkins was there with his fire experience and was able to put a line around it. So any other discussion on this?
Daniel.
Yes, Mr. Hurt, Commissioner Hurt.
We prohibit use of hot tubs, pools, outdoor barbecues, and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
These vacation rentals aren't. We prohibit any use of a wood stove. And when you've got people coming in who have no experience out in the woods, and you put them in that environment, are we as the county liable for allowing that type of hazard to exist?
It is only a hazard if it's misused.
I know, and that's what
but that's true of everything.
That's true with everything, but here you're...
I think, you know, my thought is, like, you know, me personally, we lost heat, electricity twice in the last week with the storms.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we turned to wood heat to heat our home. Mm-hmm. And so I would, from that standpoint, I would hate to not allow, you know, a renter to have a source of heat if one is provided there. But I also think there needs to be... there needs to be a standard, like
when you
a rule
a
book
stove,
on how to do ash or something.
When you put in a wood stove, you got to go get a permit from the building department. There's got to be an inspection,
right.
And the contractor has to be licensed to put it in.
That's right.
How do we know that's been taken care of here in this?
Well,
we
that
in the past somebody just didn't put it in and.
Well, isn't that what this permit goes through the public health building department? Don't they check for code compliance?
This actually does get inspected by both building and environmental health, and I believe this property has passed.
So it meets all standards for wood stoves.
Yeah.
Sorry?
It meets all standards for
correct.
Wood stoves.
Correct. Yeah. It's one of the use permit requirements, and we have started having them meet that requirement prior to it coming to you guys for the board for the
yeah.
most part.
So my opinion is we just need, you know, the disconnect is, okay, you've been there a week, you've been using the wood stove, now where do you put the ash? Therefore, if we provide as a requirement on homes with a wood-burning stove that they have a fireproof receptacle or trash, metal trash can, but that that is adequate for, you know, ash, that we make that a condition of approval on these homes so that there is a designated spot because of where we live. You know, this is wooded environment with highly flammable vegetation.
And my concern is not so much if the, you know, if the homeowner wants to be negligent, fine, but its effect on the neighborhood around it that I'm concerned about, and we're allowing use permit, if everything's been inspected and in place properly, and you put a condition in there that either the renter takes care of cleaning out the fireplace and putting the ash in a proper receptacle, or within the time that those people are out of that building, the property manager is there within an hour or whatever time frame to make sure that that's taken care of properly.
I see what you're saying. So like in between tenants, because you know, most people are there a week, but right. what happens in the scenario where you end up with like a 3-week vacation rental? You know, somebody wants to come and ski for 3 weeks. Are you suggesting that the vacation manager would come weekly to clean it out, or, and because I don't know that that's practical.
I think we'd be getting a little too restrictive.
Exactly.
You can only regulate stupidity so far.
Exactly. Right. That's why I suggest.
Oh. I can answer this really quick.
Yeah, I suggest just the metal container.
Well, that's a requirement that we have. Sandra Haugen.
Okay.
We have that as a requirement in all of my properties if they have a fireplace, but we also have a binder that tells you what to do, how to do it, and not. And then all of my people that are in between cleaners, you know, my cleaners that go in, they all know what to do, how to get rid of them, but we have cans for that, and we have directions on how to for those tenants who may not know what to do.
That's
so we preemptively do that so that we prevent it from being an issue.
So I'm all for the container. I did see their bear-proof garbage can. You know, it had locking mechanism on the top of it. So I will leave it up to you guys for
a motion.
Motion.
Okay, I will move we adopt resolution PC 2023-006, a resolution of the Planning Commission of the County of Siskiyou, State of California, approving the use permit UP-22-10 and determining the project is exempt from CEQA.
Can we add with an amendment to require as a condition the ash container?
Yes.
So we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Okay. I'd like to then make a suggestion. I feel a lot more comfortable when we add things to resolutions that we have the explicit language that we're going to leave. I don't feel comfortable doing a resolution for signature without the language having been developed. So I would suggest at condition 19, where we're somewhat discussing fire anyways, although it's in regard to outdoor burnings, but perhaps a sentence added to condition 19 that ashes shall be
disposed of,
thank you, into a metal container,
fireproof
metal container, and shall be left at least 24 hours before further disposal.
Yep.
There you go.
Yep. I agree.
I just might add, till ashes are cold, and I'll put a timeline on it.
Yeah.
What's that?
Until ashes are cold, not a time limit, because, yeah, I've cleaned our wood stove in a hurry when it got cold, and it was still smoking 3 days later.
What about telling the renter not to remove the ashes from the stove?
Well, that's where you come back to what Danielle was saying. If you have a renter in there for 2 weeks, depending how much wood they're burning or what kind of stove it is, they may need to help you, or it's going to be a fire hazard inside.
Okay, so I will include that verbiage in the motion.
Okay, ashes shall be disposed of into a fire approved metal container until the ashes are cold.
Yep. Okay, so we have an amended motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Let's see, is this a voice vote?
Yes.
Okay, so a voice vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, motion carries.
Let the record show that Commissioner Mello did not participate in this because I was not involved in its beginning.
Great, thank you for that. Okay, so moving on to new business. This is agenda item one, Sinbaldi Mendoza use permit, UP-22-04, is categorically exempt. Staff report, please.
Yes, good morning. This is Shelley Gray, assistant planner. Louis Sinbaldi and Joan Mendoza are requesting a use permit approval to allow a short-term vacation rental use of their existing single-family dwelling. The property is located at 1900 Maple Drive, approximately 4 miles southwest of the city of Weed. It is approximately a 5-acre parcel that is developed with a single-family dwelling. The residence is a 2,256-square-foot two-story dwelling with two bedrooms. The property is within the Rural Residential Agricultural Zoning District, which allows short-term rentals upon issuance of a use permit. The project is consistent with the general plan and zoning for its area. The dwelling has been inspected by the Building Division and Environmental Health Division. Two bedrooms and a loft are to be used as sleeping quarters within the proposed short-term vacation rental. Based on the capacity of the existing septic system, Environmental Health has determined that a maximum of 4 guests could be accommodated at any one time. 4 parking spaces are required for this proposed vacation rental. Adequate parking spaces exist on the west side of the residence. This project is proposed to be exempt from CEQA per section 15301 as it is an existing facility and there are no unusual circumstances or future activities which might reasonably result in this project having a significant effect on the environment. Environmental Health, the Building Division, and CAL FIRE commented on this project regarding the requirements. Staff received one public comment late last night that was presented to the Planning Commission prior to this meeting. And staff needs to know that was received after the staff report was already created.
Okay.
Staff would also like to know that there were other comments received late this morning, but there was not enough time to read, print, and get copies to you guys. So direct the adjacent property owners to call in. They already had the agenda information. Staff recommends determining the project categorically exempt and approving the use permit for this project. There is a suggested motion in the packet.
Great, thank you. So just for the record, we did receive in our packet after a letter from a Pauline Robinson.
Correct.
Addressed to the commissioners.
She's in the audience.
Okay, thank you. So,
through the chair?
Yes.
And just for the record, she would like to have it read into during our public hearing time when it's time, or she will present it herself.
Okay, just 1 minute, please. Let's see.
Is this you?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, so I do have questions. I will wait till after I hear from the public. Do you guys have any questions before I open up the public hearing at this time? Okay.
Through the chair.
Yes.
It seems we have quite a few people online who may be wishing to speak. I do have a timer set up for 3 minutes. Is that the time that you would like to? Five?
Five.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. So with that, are there any project proponents that would like to speak on behalf of the project? Okay. Seeing none? Yeah, I open the public hearing. Right? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, no, I don't see any project proponents. Are there project opponents that would like to speak? So we have a member in the audience. Would you please state your name and address into the microphone, please?
My name is Polly Robinson, and I live at 1821 Maple Drive, pretty much directly across from 1900. And I've been there for 38 years. Should I go ahead?
Yes, please.
Okay, so I do have my little cheat sheet here with my letter, which includes some pictures I took yesterday and a video, which I don't know if you can see, but my husband and has been plowing that road since the 1990s, and I've raised my family there. I built the house myself and designed it and built it myself in the 80s. And so he has always used a big articulating John Deere tractor to clear the road, making nice chutes to put the snow in. And 2 years ago, he retired, and so we've had to use, there's been a guy with a boss plow, can't make chutes, the road's narrowed and narrowed. And finally, 2 days ago, we had a big piece of heavy equipment come in, widen the road, but according to, we got there yesterday, and you really wouldn't hardly know it, because it's, it snowed so much yesterday. So a picture of Maple Drive is, it's a quiet little dirt road in bear country. I don't know if you know the Bernstein Bear stories, but it's, most of us are there because we like privacy, and we have had increasing amounts of traffic in the past few years on our road that have impacted all of us, including us, are at the point where our driveway and Maple Drive are. We've had people parking there. Now, this is not good when it's snowing, because we already have a narrow road. We have a car parked there. The snow plows can't get by it. And it's, people have left their stuff there. And the reason why they park there, this house is way up a dirt road, uphill. And they can't make it up that hill because it's steep. It's slippery. It's often not cleared. I mean, our road is bad enough, but this house is like 500 feet higher at least. And so they have that much more snow. And it's, an absentee owner. So you imagine, like, originally we've known three different owners there. They've all had plows, they've been able to come downhill with the plow, move the snow, and, that's a whole lot easier than plowing uphill, which is, when you're an absentee owner, you don't have, you have to come uphill. And there's no place to push the snow, and there is a lot of snow there, because it's on the northern drainage, just as you're right on the other side of the hill, you're going into the Sacramento drainage. Here, you're going into the Klamath drainage. You get dumped on, literally dumped on. And our snow from our garden doesn't disappear until sometimes June. And we're 500 feet lower. So this has, been distressing to everybody on Maple Drive. I think they'd all be here today, but a few of them are stuck in the snow right now. And since I have also some concerns, because not only is it in the wintertime a problem, but in the summertime, it's super fire danger. Everybody's aware of this. But that house is way up there. And so when we have power failures, this is an all-electric house. You don't have backup, I would like to recommend and encourage the Planning Commission to suggest that people have backup generators, because when you don't have water and you don't have power, you're out of luck. And these are people that are paying to stay there. And, there's places that are much more reasonable to use for Airbnbs than that place. That place is difficult, at least.
Okay.
And and then during the winter, if you don't have power, you're out of luck too. So we don't want people parking in front of our driveway. We don't want our road obstructed. We don't want excess traffic. The road goes through, but it's so rutted past our house that most people can't get through without four-wheel drive.
That was your beeper.
Okay.
But thank you.
You're welcome.
Are there other members? I see folks online. Okay, so.
Are we going for 3 minutes or
through
five?
Through the chair.
I had it on five.
Through the chair. I do have somebody with their hand up at this time.
Yes, please.
Person calling in with the last four digits of 6235, please unmute yourself.
Say your name and...
Please state your name and address for the record.
Good morning, my name is Valerie Yaffe, and my address is 1906 Maple Drive.
Through the chair, could she spell her last name, please?
Can you spell your last name, please?
Yes, it's Yancey.
Can you check the volume?
Hold on just a second. Okay, go ahead.
I was one of the people that submitted a letter this morning. I was having issues with my computer and my photos and videos of some of the damage to our road were included in that letter I sent in this morning. I think what I'll do is just read my letter since it wasn't received in time for your packet, if that's okay, and then you can ask me questions.
Please go ahead.
Is that okay?
Yes, please.
So I wrote, with due consideration, I'm writing to comment and express our opposition to the use permit for the short-term vacation rental at 1900 Maple Drive in the rural community of Hampton Ranch. We live at 1906 Maple Drive and we share the 1,000 foot or 305 meter easement from Maple Drive. Guests that go to the vacation rentals drive directly in front of our home to arrive 600 feet further up from our home on the easement at 1900. Because of the uniqueness of Hammond Ranch and its privately managed roadways, the Planning Commission needs to pause and evaluate the risk of permits for vacation rentals here. It is in heavy woodland with extreme high fire danger impact and a rural community. The owners and the new guests each week lack the awareness and prior experience of navigating steep grades and are careless of the very real fire danger of the forest, not to mention large game and other wildlife encounters while walking here and driving here. Not all parcels in Siskiyou County that are being considered for such use permits are equal, and the Planning Commission must recognize the parcels and privately maintained easements and roadways affected by the transient tenant use when considering approval for use permits are quite different than publicly maintained paved level roadways to those parcels. In our 18 years here, prior to the vacation rental this past year, we encountered rare instances of trash and et cetera on the roads. And more recently, this past year, there is more trash and now even cigar and cigarette butts on the easement and the road. Our privately maintained roads and easements were once quiet with low traffic, and now each week there are different and unfamiliar drivers, guests, and crews lacking mutual road use respect and causing overuse and wearing of the gravel surfaces as well as our peace of mind. The guests and cleaning and maintenance crews and their automobiles are routinely ill-prepared for the road conditions, whether it be snow, ice, or just wet, and ruin the easement surface and leave trash and debris and damage unattended to. On multiple occasions, the guests have not been able to navigate the road or easement, which causes them to park 1,000 feet down from the property on Maple Drive Road in the way of our local property owners or in our driveway without our permission. On many occasions, the guests with multiple cars at once drive well over the 60-mile-an-hour speed limit. And this is not acceptable and it's dangerous to our family and pets and wildlife as well as other road users. It does not appear that the operators have a local license, effective property managers, as these road conditions and other safety concerns wouldn't be happening. I ask that the planning commission take pause and revise and reconsider use permits within Hammond Ranch because it's a matter of safety. So that's my letter. I do also know that the prior owner had trouble selling the property because potential buyers could not get fire insurance for their mortgages.
Great, thank you, that's it, thank you. Are there others that would like to speak at this time?
Seeing none.
Okay, so seeing none, I will close the public hearing and bring it back to the commission. I have a question, I'll start. So looking online, it looks like this place is already being advertised since 2021 as a vacation rental. So they've been operating illegally.
They have, there was a complaint provided of, that made the county aware that
okay.
they had been advertising, and code enforcement diligently and effectively has made sure and gone through all of these, because there are many of them, advertising to make sure that you cannot go in and actually book it for only for a short term time frame. But we have had a code case that.
Sorry.
It's my time limit.
We won't give you a time limit.
Fines were incurred and satisfied, but
okay. And there's but they weren't required to take their booking down because it's still they still have an active booking. As of like right now.
I was speaking with Planner Gray about this yesterday, and they do have their booking up, and I attempted to book the rental and I was unable to.
Oh.
So it's listed
but not able
to be booked.
Okay. Before you continue, I've got a question directly related to that. So are the fines that are levied for operating illegally equal to or greater than what the TOT tax collected for the use during the time that it was illegal, is it equal, is it greater, or is it less than?
That's a great question. I am not familiar with what the TOT tax is for this specific, you know, this
because
location.
So here's where I'm coming from, mm-hmm. because we are now at year number 12 plus of bringing vacation rentals into compliance. And granted, I'm getting older and my patience has expired. But if the property owner comes into us and wants a use permit for a vacation rental, and they've been operating for, I don't care whether it's 3 months or 30 years, 12 years since the ordinance came into place. My opinion is we don't issue that use permit until all back TOTs are paid in full, period. I'm done with it. I'm tired of people saying, oh, woe is me. I don't give a crap. I've got to deal with fines and whatnot from the state. It's time these folks do too.
Through the chair, are you, just for clarification, you're referencing for if someone's operating illegally, go back to the time that they started,
and
make them pay?
That their ownership
collect
was
that
finalized,
TOT.
They operated illegally, then I say, hey, all back TOT from when they purchased and began to operate it are paid in full.
Yes, Ms.
Through
Rachel?
The chair. This particular rental was being booked through the Airbnb booking site, which automatically collects TOT regardless if they have a permit or not. Additionally, I believe that the fines that were collected on top of that were in excess of $4,000.
Okay, and did the county get the TOT from Airbnb?
They pay it quarterly.
Okay, my question is, do you know definitively that the county received quarterly payments from Airbnb on this property?
So when Airbnb submits their payment, they do not itemize which properties they are getting the TOT collected from. So we do not have a written record of which properties. They just give us a check, basically, is my understanding.
So in other words, we don't know.
That's something that I believe the tax collector's office has arranged with these various booking sites, so we would have to defer to them on what arrangements they have made.
Got it.
Is it possible to have the discussion with tax collectors, our tax county tax collector, to see if they have the itemized breakdown? Because if they don't, that needs to be rectified. That would make our code enforcement so much easier.
Through the chair.
Yes.
I know that Airbnb got in a bunch of trouble in a bunch of states and our cities in California, and I don't know if they have modified their reporting to the public entity by itemizing it, and I don't remember the particulars, but there was a place in San Francisco that was renting through Airbnb a bedroom in a home. And it was somehow got out, and Airbnb got in big trouble in this city, and I don't remember all the particulars.
Yeah.
So at this point, Rachel, they are still not itemizing who gets from where?
As of a year ago, when we expanded which booking sites we get this disbursement of TOT from, they were not itemizing them. And
so is this an annual payment or quarterly or what?
I believe it's quarterly.
See, Airbnb rents single rooms within a house.
Yes, they do.
Siskiyou County decided not to get involved in licensing or applying.
That's right.
VRBO does the total house. Airbnb can do the total house, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But primarily, Airbnb is a single room within a house.
And within an existing family home.
Well, it depends.
They can do that.
Yep.
They can do it now without us even getting involved in it.
Yep.